This is Lena Live, my another program with one of the finest musicians one can come close to. Her name is Anna Kate. And I didn't use words loosely finest is because indeed her fine tune regarding either imagination or emotions or choice of musical instruments are so eloquent and so unique in its combination and in individual use that I would say that that put her among very uniquely gifted, individually visualizing her own musical world musicians of our times. By age 10, she already had her own, I call a mini orchestra, because she was able to have a touch and connection to the harp, guitar, piano, violin, and her own voice. Well, I certainly already carried away by talking about her. But I certainly would not do better job than she will herself. So, Anna, you're most welcome. I like to shift actually to your music first.
Okay.
And then we will have our dialogue about indeed your creations and your internal musical vision. We're going to hear one of your songs on your just brand new CDs, which you will tell us about. And the name of that song is the Rain Cloud Song. So this is Anna Kate with her Wonder World, I call it, the Rain Cloud Song.
Dramatic dichotomy. I know how long it's been. I was out for a run when the star came on, double my melody. You look a little afraid. I can see in your eyes. I'm dripping wet in my bed. I'm the last you expect to see stopping by.
Thank you.
And that was Ann Cates, one of the songs of her brand new album. And the name of the song is the Rain Cloud Song. And on this magnificent note, which so poetically dissipated in a silence, I am going to invite you and to ask you a question which intrigued me when I was learning about your life. Why, I should say, and what attracted you particularly in a harp as a musical instrument? I know that you've been impressed with this sound and that instrument, I believe, when you've been around age 10. If I'm correct, I think your mother took you to some kind of a concert. And from that young age, you became very enchanted with this instrument. Let's start from harp.
Well, I was actually around the age of 5 when I first heard a concert. And it was just a folk harp that was being played. And I was really enchanted by it. And I kept that kind of in my mind as an instrument that I wanted to learn. And during school and music classes, when they would review all of the instruments of the orchestra, I remember harp was my number one instrument that I wanted to learn. And it's because of the tone of the harp. I think it's so beautiful and so unique. And I just told my parents over and over, I want to play the harp. This is what I want to do. And I lived in a small town in the middle of Washington State. And it was a little bit difficult finding a harp teacher. And I know a lot of people come across that problem. But when I was 10, I was able to begin harp lessons.
I like to confess something to you. It was purely irrational, but not as early as your age, but maybe in my early teens. I was terribly attracted by harp.
Really?
It was, yes, and I can't put this in words, but I do remember I had just such attachment to the sound, to the look of this instrument, which I like to talk a little bit about so our listeners will understand exactly what kind of instrument that is. But it was just very captivating for me. But at that time, I was in a very, I would say, conventional society when you would study an instrument which you can play individually and not depend from the orchestra. So piano was the choice. But then, I'll be honest with you, I found that piano has such a tremendous hidden orchestra sound inside of it that gradually I placed harp back as a part of the orchestra, and my passion somewhat dissolved, but your passion truly developed. And I like to ask you to describe a little bit the harp and to give us somewhat a bit of objective information and perhaps touch on your process of studying harp.
Okay. Well, I actually play a concert grand harp, and that's as big as they come. So it has pedals, 7 pedals, A through G, and that's how you get the accidental. So 47 strings. And if I were to set all of the pedals in the key of C in the middle slot of the pedals, that would be like all of the white keys on a piano. And in order to get a sharp or a flat, I use the pedals. Each string has 3 tones, sharp, natural, and flat.
Wow.
So 47 strings, sharp, natural, and flat for each string.
So coordination is quite a challenging, for some reason, make me think of the organ. There was a joke at the conservatory when a teacher would say, bring me left leg and right hand. because of the different material, and the music material should be learned and coordinated. How difficult that was for a young girl to study quite a complex, quite a complicated instrument like harp.
Yeah, I think that it is. It is complicated from the pedals, for one thing, and the need to play in a way that each finger plays the same tone. It makes it challenging, but there are also advantages to the layout of the harp. For example, because of the pedals, I can cancel out and double certain notes of the scales, and that's how you get the beautiful glissandos on a harp. So I definitely think that there are perks, that some things are harder, some things are easier. I think it's easier to sound good right away on a harp. I actually started violin lessons at the same time I started harp lessons, and the learning curve is definitely very different. But I think at a very professional level, the harp is one of the hardest instruments to practice, to master.
Well, thank you for describing this. It is truly unique to have this clarification and description from you, because just in terms of quantity, there are not that many harpists in the world who can perform solo and being so proficient and bring their solo repertoire playing a harp. So you're taking your own harp and you're rolling from place to place, or you're coming to the location where harp already is waiting for you, like piano, for example. How does it work?
I always use my own harp. So I have a vehicle that can accommodate it, and I have a cart and a case for it. And it's not easy. It takes a lot of patience, but that's always good.
So that's probably what we can call tough love.
Yeah, it's true. It takes some grit to play the harp and to be willing to move it around.
Now, to connect that passion of yours to some explanation of your talent, I would feel that is somewhat a base for your imagination, which opened the door to other sounds and other manifestation which you experienced as a young child. Which is a tremendous luck. It's such a fantastic foundation and beginning of your musical vision. You mentioned that you started to play violin. Needless to say, that physical shift is so difficult, and you already touched on a different curve of it. But then you add the guitar. In fact, I was not completely correct. Guitar came with your college years. But still, you formed your own little orchestra. How did you feel about having this freedom of colors, yet discipline, and then integration, all of this in your composition? I understand it's a huge question, but just flow as you like.
That's a really good question. I think it's unique that you're asking me about kind of the breadth of the instruments that I play and how that affects what I write. And I think it was a process. It was a process to choose which instruments I preferred writing on and find something that would be unique and something that people would enjoy discovering because it was a little bit different. I started out composing probably on the piano when I was young. Ever since I could figure out how to hit record on the tape player, I would write music on the piano. And then it wasn't until I was writing in college that I began to learn more about songwriting, more modern art form, and the easiest was to songwrite on the guitar. And it took a while to really figure out how in the world I was going to write modern music on the harp, because I would try, I'd sit down, get frustrated, and go back to my guitar. But I was in a unique situation where, for a while, I did not have a guitar, I did not have a piano. All I had with me was my harp. And so when I felt creative and imaginative, like you talked about, the only choice I had was to find my harp and figure out the songwriting on that instrument. And that's what really started the process of this EP that I just released.
You know, you touched upon something which concerns me deeply, being a musician myself. It's that merge between electronics and regular old-fashioned instruments. It's so difficult to find yourself in that merge where, for example, natural sound of piano has been changed towards imitation and people using a keyboard. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to go into sphere of criticizing or some kind of heavy-duty analysis of it. It's a reality, and that's what we're dealing with. What I particularly admired in your situation, and that's what makes you unique, that you found this invisible middle ground. You used this harp, which is a giant of nature of the sound and has tremendous history, and you've been able to connect with natural piano and natural violin. I didn't ask whether you're using regular guitar or not, but you certainly connected yourself to the microphone. In fact, you've been so honest that you said that you don't have a big voice, and therefore you're admiring some modern technical items, or I should say technical gadgets, which allow you to increase volume of your voice. Of course, microphone, we're dealing with some technological successes, even though microphones go back quite a bit, but there is no doubt they became such phenomenal instrument and extension and a help and sometimes rescuing. If people don't have much to say, then microphone steps in and say the rest. Mm-hmm. But in your case, I believe you did find this connection. So tell me, how do you feel as a big picture regarding this coexistence between old-fashioned, what we get used to, instruments, and this world of novelty, world of electronics, which we all have to get used to as well?
Well, I think I can offer a different viewpoint. I think that the electronic edge is not something to fear or not something to believe creates a more unnatural sound, because I think it allows for a more realistic picture of the tones that we can bring in with electronics or with the microphone might actually be more natural. For example, if a mother sings a lullaby to her child, that can't be captured and sent out to thousands of people without electronics and a microphone. But it's the most natural sound in the world, right?
Yes.
I think that there are sounds all around us that are very natural to our experience and to art, but we can mimic that through the mediums that we've talked about.
So if I would say that if you have something to say, and if you have abilities to deal with the natural instruments, then electronic world become an asset. It becoming a source of the extension rather than substitution. Is that a fair statement?
That's exactly what I'm saying.
Okay. Well, I think it's a time for us to have another absolutely beautiful song of yours. In fact, I have to tell you that your publicist described your music in a such an eloquent way that one needs to have a dictionary to understand exactly the depth of her description.
Wow.
So I would certainly first to... And your publicist name, I should say, Lydia Sherwood, which, by the way, great pleasure to deal with. And I certainly feel almost in my own way that I'm starting the show with an artist whom she introduced. So when I first read about you and then I listened to your music, I felt it was already a continuation because indeed of her introduction. And I'm jumping into your another song, which is Daydreaming, where indeed we will have again a wonderful collage of the instrumental colors. And then perhaps you will talk a little bit more about this song. I need to say that my wonderful guest today, Anna Kate, with the most intuitive musical taste and imagination, whose voice is continuation of the family of instruments she plays. And with that, we will be ready to have another acquaintance with her song Daydreaming, which is a part of her brand new CD album.
My face is pink as black. You've been missing me. You were often asked, took in my feet and down the sheet. Thank you.
frankly, I could hear your very ending with this magnificent ostinato for another half an hour. Something so comforting, especially after this truly remarkably spread out colors of this song. I always feel challenging to put words connected to music, and I always feel a bit guilty that composers or performers who put their soul, mind, education, and whole background in their creations must be subjected to some kind of strange verbal description. So if I will go a little overboard, Anna, at least I'm trying to connect with my descriptions and my personal feedback to your very, very personal and subjective. And on this note, I wanted to ask you about this incorporation of all these instruments. Certainly heard harp. Mm-hmm. There is a certain correlation between harp and guitar. I would not say similarity because it is totally different world, but something very comforting in combination between those two. One thing I feel that it is certainly can bring this well-defined between the line overtones, which, for example, piano cannot do. Would you agree with this? And also, jump into my another question. What prompted you to make such exotic combination between these colors and instruments? What a background for this song.
Okay. Yeah, I definitely think the overtones are a big part of it. And I think what you're asking is how I chose the combination of instruments for this song?
Correct, yes.
Okay, well, so I found a producer. I was pretty picky in the process, but I identified a producer that I felt understood my style, and I understood his. And so we worked hard to make arrangements of these songs that we both felt good about. And initially, when I asked for the budget of the project, how much it would cost, actually, he said that he quoted me an amount that included session musicians. And I said, I can't do that. I'm sorry, I'll have to work with someone else. And he came back and said, between the two of us, we can do most of the instruments, which sounded great. So it was mostly a collaboration of what we each played. And Nathan, the producer, is very good at guitar. I'm very good at, well, what's in scope for me is harp. And so when we would play this together, there would be times where he just wanted it to be all about harp and voice. He thought that the arrangement I had was so great alone. But in the end, what we came up with was more of a back and forth between guitar and harp with the addition of the cello from Phil Peterson.
That what brought this depth and a little extension, the cello. So that was a secret, which if I overlooked it, forgive me, but I did not see cello role in your among instruments you played. You just brought the cello color for the song. Am I getting it right?
We did have strings by Phil A. Peterson, and he actually does it all on cello.
Oh, I see. So you brought another musician.
Yes.
Okay. About your producer, Nathan Iacchino. Please correct me if I'm not pronouncing his Iacchino. Name correctly.
Nathan Iacchino, his name?
So it's Iacchino or Iacchino?
Iacchino.
Iacchino. This is almost, I'm going to be brave, and I would say it's almost like a musical marriage, because unless you really, really understand each other and have total freedom to create what should be close to your imagination, it simply would not work. Tell us a little bit about your collaboration with this producer and give us a picture. What did it take to create this magnificent album?
Well, first it was identifying the right fit, like I talked about. That's so important when people are looking to do their own album, to identify someone who is enthusiastic about their style and who can produce in a style that they will be happy with. And so that was step one, was identifying and selecting the right producer. And step two is always to inventory what songs we both liked. And he listened to so many of my songs. I think I went a little overboard. It just felt so great to be able to review all of these songs I had swimming around in my head and to be able to choose which ones to focus on. So that was the next step. From there, we would get together and work on the arrangements of the song. And then the next step was for me to finish the songwriting. That was, you know, there, I wanted just the right words in the final slot. From there, we took it to the studio, which was really awesome to be in a creative setting where I could make the song sound final and sound the way that I heard them in my head, but I couldn't express alone.
Well, that is a multi-staged process.
Definitely.
And it is so challenging, frankly, not only because you have to make a decision, and you mentioned that you went overboard listening and choosing and thinking. It's a somewhat painful process. Because finally, when you're making a decision, that might not be the best decision, but at least it should satisfy the essence of your original idea. So whatever you had as an embryonic vision should come up with a close to well-formed musical expression. With that, I wanted to ask, which instrument is more challenging to incorporate in ensemble?
In ensemble?
Yeah. For example, harp is a highly individual, has a very individual tone. Mm-hmm. For example, violin is also... They sound extremely different, but yeah. You have to blend them.
Yeah, I think it is. I would say harp is the most challenging because it's not a sound we're familiar with when we hear an indie rock song or a pop song. That was definitely the challenge. When you hear guitar, it's familiar, it's comfortable. You hear piano, same thing. Violin, a little bit of the same thing, but there were some moments when we were recording in the studio, we just didn't know what to do with the track that we would record of harp, because we didn't know how to work around it with other instruments.
Yes, it's extraordinarily complicated, and you know, I was under impression that you had this... I would say a sense of musical responsibility since your very beginning, or let's say in the process of your becoming a musician. I'm going to read one of your descriptions here. You're saying that it was difficult writing indie rock on the harp because at I would being trained to play classical harp, which uses a lot of rolled chords and arpeggios. Classical harps rarely use repeated notes, but I went ahead and repeated notes in creative ways, sometimes adding accents, sometimes muting the repeated notes for a staccato effect. I also changed tempos and meters, sometimes adding a beat or sometimes taking a beat out. Nathan was careful to keep these nuances as we arranged the music for the EP. My feeling was that you certainly created a new world of sound combination, and conceptually it is so new, so brave, so refreshing, to say the least. I think in one of the points, I don't exactly remember where in your biography, there was a thought that you perhaps creating a new trend. So tell me how you see the future, and what would be the next step after this album before we will hear your another song?
Next steps for me, I definitely think that my music lends itself well to film. I'd love to work to market my music to TV and film avenues, as well as make more music videos and increase awareness of what I'm doing in that way.
I think it's a very natural step, and it would be fantastic to have this sound, supportive sound to many films and perhaps even documentary, because of the novelty, because of this exotic combination, and because you've been born with such unusual freedom of choice for the musical sounds. And what is particularly fundamental, that you can play those instruments. When you have this connection between physical, mental, emotional, that brings just such a juicy, fantastic result. I like for us to go back a little bit to your early years, because you mentioned that your ancestors being musically inclined, I think your grandmothers, if I remember correctly, and then you made an interesting point, which I totally agree with, that the talent is jumping over generations or something like that. So before we will hear you another song, can you elaborate a little bit on your childhood?
Sure. I loved to play outside. I lived in an apple orchard. I was very imaginative and very happy, and played a lot of instruments. I loved even my toys that made music. The music box, drums, anything. I just loved that. And I was actually the only one in my family that was really passionate about music. But I began to learn that there was some history of music in my family. And learning about my family history made me learn that my great-great-grandfather actually made harps. He was from Sweden. And when he came over to America, he manufactured a small kind of harp. And he met someone in his neighborhood that played the violin, and they played in a band. And because they were in this band, the harpist's son met the violinist's daughter, and they married, and so they became musical and part of my ancestry. And then I've also learned that on my grandmother's side, and she's Southern, and her grandma used to play guitar on her front porch and sing for everyone. So I think that it's definitely something that's in my blood. It just skipped a few generations, as you said.
I'm overly excited to hear about your grandfather, particularly because when you had this impulse and attraction towards harps, certainly you did not know about this so much. That is quite an extraordinary thing, speaking about an emotional DNA, if I may say, quite extraordinary. Well, I think it's a time for us to hear another very beautiful song. I call it, you call it Full Circle, and for myself, I call it almost like a conversation. So let's hear that, and then we will go to a little bit discussion about our world today and how do you see music themes with people's life in this complicated world we're living in. So my guest is Anna Kate with her beautiful freshly released debut EP and the song, another song from that album called Full Circle. Wonderful combination of very full sound orchestra with your voice and sudden shift into the intimacy of a colors. I found, not to be too technical, but your leitmotif, which creates somewhat formation of that song, reminder that this expressiveness has its own turn and has its own almost responsibility to communicate with intimacy. I found just so beautifully put together. Am I saying something right about your song?
Oh, yeah, totally, thank you. Yeah, I think it's true. It's very, it has that nuance of the intimacy, but also the way it all comes together is pretty unique. Different.
Very, very different. Well, I was trying to follow map of your work, some episodes of your life and how you uniquely formed your musical professional individuality. We certainly just had a little touch of it, but it was a beautiful island to travel without coming even close to the completion of who you are and what you already created. Since time is coming to the end, I like to conclude with your vision about our society and how not too friendly sometimes musical world can be received by the modern situation and environment, because I can only imagine how sometimes challenging for you is to merge your internal world with external one. Let's talk just a little bit. Bring us a little bit closer to your vision, to your experiences, and perhaps how we can how can we combine subjectivity and objectivity. Again, a big question. Please feel free and comfortable with whatever you choose to answer.
Okay. Well, I feel that where I've landed today is that is the result of a lot of internal ambition. As a child, I really was ambitious in what I wanted to play, what instruments I wanted to learn. And then as I grew older, that ambition manifested itself in my desire to learn the art of songwriting and to express my creative imagination. And it came together at a point where I was ready to make an EP, because I felt that what I had to offer was different and it would be exciting for listeners to learn about, because it's not too often that you hear the harp as a lead instrument for a songwriter, for a singer-songwriter. So that's where I've landed today. I've produced the EP. It's singing, songwriting, and harp playing. And it's been created by a wonderful producer. And from here, as I said before, I feel that excited about the opportunity to work with the medium of film and to really reach a broader audience with that as well. Is that answering your question?
Partly. I also like to, because I ask such such multi-level question, I don't blame you that you could not really travel through all my points. You summarized very clearly in a nutshell your personal progression and steps. But I like to ask you also, what is your vision on our world, which I said not always too friendly towards musicians, and how complicated is personally for you, or maybe not, to merge your external, your internal world with our external world?
Well, I think that it takes a lot of creativity to get your music out there in the current market. Things have changed a lot in the music industry, and it's something that I'm just kind of taking one step at a time. I haven't really figured out completely what path I'm taking, but I'm sure I'll take a creative path in that. As far as combining my internal world with my external world, I think that is very on trend with so many things, not just music, I think. Are you still there?
Very much so. I'm waiting for your critical point, because that was my really question regarding the merch.
Right.
Yes.
Well, I think that there's a strong desire that I see all over society where people want to express their internal feelings and make that external. You see it in Facebook posts. You see it in blogs. You see it in fashion. You see it in the news. And I think I'm right in step with that, with just my music. I'm trying to express what I feel inside. And we see that all around us. The song we just listened to alludes to that connectivity a little bit. And I think it's exciting. I think that it shows that people are open-minded to hearing about our imagination.
And this is wonderful, very encouraging response from you, because in spite of hardship which musicians are experiencing, I hear one very consistent and extremely promising, well-established quality in you, and that's called creativity. You were born with this, you're expressing that, and my warmest congratulations to you because of your exploration and because of the discovery of endless creativity. In your case, it's merging of different instruments, some of which people didn't know much about, and that's harp. And I just wanted to wish you to have continuous courage with the creativity, and perhaps we will have you back with your new music and your new creative steps. So I would also say that whatever is new today is perhaps more welcome than before, because of the reasons you express. There are so much various ways of expressing yourself, and at the same time, one should have classical roots, classical traditions and learning, and that you have as well. So I think you have whatever it takes, and I wish you the most of the success.
Well, thank you so much. That means so much to me, especially coming from you with all your expertise.
Well, no, thank you. It's also coming from all our listeners, mostly from the heart, even stronger than from the mind. That was my very beautiful guest, Anna Kate. And to conclude this hour, we will be listening to her another song from her new EP, which called The Letter. After which I will have my usual post words for very conclusion of the program.
A woman
That was the last goodbye note to our program with Anna Kate. And I will follow with my post thoughts regarding of another year, which is gradually, I should say, leaving us. And I just wanted to thank BBS Radio, which give us such a joy and give us an opportunity to be educated. It give us an opportunity to have this free dialogue with endless amount of images, thoughts. We can be creative, we can be dull, we can be just about anything we want to be. And I particularly, personally, very grateful because every time you get in touch with the station, you actually get in touch with the people who are working there. We are thanking them for their gifts, their devotion, dedication to all of us and patience. And I hope that many years from now, they will be doing the same work with even more inspiration. On this note, that was your Lena Mirmont with Lena Live. I might produce another program this year at the Christmas time. It will be a surprise program, and I'm looking forward to that. But for now, be well. Have a pleasant, warm cup of cider. And come back to your own soul, minds, hearts, and your greatest desires.
Mm-hmm.